Rick, I want you to sit in a comfortable chair.
All right.
Have your feet flat on the floor or maybe crossed.
And okay.
Your hands on your knees or crossed in your lap and kind of sitting up and not slouching, but comfortable.
And okay.
I just want you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And just kind of start to think about that breath and figure out where that breath is coming from as you breathe in and out. And notice that there's some sounds around you, but we want to bring that focus toward your body. Your feet are flat on the floor. Your arms are comfortable in your lap.
Your voice is in my head.
I'm the guided meditation, Rick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was trying to be my meditation guy, but that didn't work.
Well, you said, you know, where's the breath coming from? I'm like, well, there's oxygen and nitrogen, and when it enters the alveolar sacs, it separates it. But anyway, go right ahead.
Anyway, well, welcome everyone to Garden Fork Radio.
Good morning, Eric. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. We're going to do the meditation thing again, because I don't know if I would be very good at leading a meditation, but... Mm-hmm. I was just talking to I saw a friend of mine that I've known for like 20 years yesterday, and I'm much calmer than I used to be, and he has noticed it. And I said, headspace, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I subscribe to Headspace. I let it drop this last time, but I'm kind of on my way pretty well with them. I get maybe, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening meditation in. So, and kind of mix it up a little bit. There are different styles or things you can do. How is your meditation going?
It's great. I just don't use the word. I just don't let stuff bother me nearly as much anymore.
Right.
And if you have a significant other or friend or yourself that just stuff kind of grinds on you, like the guy that cut you off in the car, or people honking their horns, or your neighbor who doesn't keep their yard clean, you know, this will help you, because that stuff just does not matter in the bigger picture.
Yeah. You know, and one of the other things I've been doing the last several years is I've been kind of studying Stoic philosophy, you know, the ancient Greeks and Romans. And actually, it's amazing how much the two camps cross, Stoic philosophy and then the meditation crowd and some of the things you think. But, you know, the whole basis of Stoic philosophy is there are things you can control. There are things you cannot control. Focus on the things that you can control, and ignore the rest. And that really helps me a lot. But, you know, in the Buddhist side of meditation, or the Zen side, they call it a metta, where you begin trying to name people and think good thoughts about them. And of course, you also do that for yourself, but bring your community, gives you some empathy for people. And we can talk about that some other time. But on the Stoic side, they do something very similar to begin realizing that, you know, you're not just an island out there by yourself. You're a family, and you're a community, and people you work with, the people you associate with, and that, you know, they're just as screwed up as you are, or you're just as screwed up as they are. So it's an interesting take on things, but I've been doing a lot of reading in it and note-taking, and someday I plan to do something with it.
Yay. So with that introduction, if this is your first time to Garden Fork Radio, it's really eclectic, as you've just figured out.
Oh, it is.
But it's DIY. I have a YouTube channel, and the podcast is kind of like just cool stuff we want to talk about. And today, I wanted to talk about what to buy and what not to buy, maybe at a Harbor Freight Tools. And okay. We're talking about seed starting based on an article from Aaron at the Impatient Gardener. And I have a new iMac coming, thanks to a lot of the Patreon supporters. And Troy Belt has sent me a new snowblower. So,
oh, boy. Just toys everywhere.
Yeah. Well, basically on Rick's recommendation, and Kevin, our technology, senior technology advisor, I guess we call him.
That's right.
He has a great new pup, by the way. He's on Instagram with his pup.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if he would want me to link to his Instagram feed or not, but he will tell me.
Well, you can tell us quietly. We won't spread the word.
Okay. All 1,200 of you. But yeah, so I decided I just needed a new computer because this one is quite old. And I went to the Apple refurbished store. And we've talked about this before. And Rick, you convinced me to go big. I was like, should I get the older, cheaper one on the refurbished site? And you were like, you might as well buy as much as you can afford because the software upgrades, your computer won't age out nearly as quickly. And so that's what I did. I bought a 6-month-old refurbished and it's supposed to arrive today.
You know, you're much better off doing that than buying a brand new one with lower capacity, lower memory, maybe not a solid state hard drive, that kind of thing. You reach as high as you can and get the most performance you can for your buck. In the end, it pays off.
I'm a big believer of that now. And also, I learned that the 21-inch iMac, you cannot upgrade the RAM, or at least not very easily. And the 27-inch, there's a little hatch in the back, a little plastic lid, and you literally open up this lid and you put the new RAM in. So I got the 27-inch and ordered some extra RAM for it. But that really kind of, the light bulb went off in my head because I called Rick and I'm like, what should I do here? I call Rick a lot, actually.
and Rick is always glad to talk with you.
And I was like, you know, should I, because they had some refurbished ones that were a couple years old. Maybe they're in a warehouse or returned or I don't know. And then they had ones that are only about 6 months old. And I was like, okay, I might as well get the newer one. And I don't really need the computing power, you know, because it's like at 3.1 gigahertz dual quad core, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
But buy as much RAM as you can afford is my advice. Because they all come, at least on the iMac, in the Apple store, they all come with 8 gigs of RAM stock. And then I'm from Mac Sales, which Kevin suggested we go to. I bought the RAM from them and they're very nice people there. So supposed to come today. So that'd be interesting.
Oh, I'm waiting with bated breath, or as they say, I'm waiting with a worm on my tongue.
Yeah. So I had a thought. I was, there's a Harbor Freight tool near me in Brooklyn here. It's in Red Hook. It's basically smack on the Gowanus Canal. And we have a video I made about, kitchen tools that you could buy at Harbor Freight. And after I made the video, I didn't realize this, but in the larger Harbor Freight stores and in their online catalog, they have a whole kitchen section.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either.
I must have one of the smaller ones around me then. I've never seen a kitchen section.
Yeah, well, real estate being what it is, we have a smaller one here. It's actually an old car dealership, so there's plenty of parking. But they have... first of all, I have a inexpensive flux core welder from them, and I'm quite happy with it for the price. I'm learning to weld with it. But they have generators there that are, they compare them to Honda generators, and Hondas to me are like the top of the line generators. Oh, they're
gold standard. Yeah.
They're quiet. Although they run.
I have to say my Troy built generator has served wonderfully this last little bit during the blizzards and power outages.
And Troy built is a sponsor, everyone, full disclosure. So, but I was thinking, you know, I was like, well, maybe I should get a generator for Brooklyn here. But my thought was my experience with generators is the one thing that breaks on them or fails is the carburetor. And on all the generators I fixed, it's the engine is either it's either a Honda engine or a Briggs & Stratton or a name brand engine. And getting a carburetor is fairly easy online.
Right.
But with a Harbor Freight generator, and the carburetor goes, who made that engine? You know? Does Harbor Freight have a parts department, you know? I don't know. It's a deep question.
I happen to know who made the engine. The Chinese made the engine. because I went to Harbor Freight and asked them. And they said, you know, these are all Chinese built. They said they're rock solid. But, you know, I kind of shied away from them because I wanted parts that I could switch out, particularly the carburetor.
Yeah, so I'm not bashing a Harbor Freight at all, but I'm just like, it is quite a bit less expensive. But, you know, 8 years down the road when your carburetor starts to fail, and usually it's the float that just gets a little pinhole in it. Do you, what do you do? So I'm curious to hear from everyone. It's radio@gardenfork.tv is the address for that. I don't know.
You know, Garden Freight is... But I can't quite get it right this morning. Harbor Freight is wonderful for a lot of things. When I was doing bee cutouts, when people have bees in their wall or bees in the ceiling or the attic, or they were between spaces, I would go down, I'd buy Harbor Freight reciprocating saws. And they were inexpensive. They worked great. And when the honey finally just flowed into the motor and killed it, I didn't feel like I'd wasted a lot of money. Yeah. Because tear outs can be really messy. Not only are you taking down the wood and cutting through things, but, the bees are upset. The honey is everywhere. It's sticky. The wax is melting in places. And so I don't want to use a really great reciprocating saw or any tool really that has an engine in it or a motor in it, doing that kind of work. And Harbor Freight is wonderful for that. Even if you just kind of use it once and throw it away, you build it into the price you charge people that you, you do the cutout for.
Yeah. I actually, whenever I go in there, and by the way, you can search online using your phone browser for their discount coupon. So whenever you go in there, there's a 20, you could have a 20% off coupon. So whenever I go, I just load up the coupon ahead of time. And I buy the black latex or the gloves. Oh, what's that?
Excuse me.
Is that your pleasant ring?
That was my telephone ringing.
That's not very stoic.
It was to have my, I'm getting some new tires. And so they were obviously just calling me to tell me that they were in.
All right. Well, anyway, I just did a quick internet search, and on Amazon, you can buy some carburetor parts for Harbor Freight engines. So I know, I'd be curious to see if anyone has some experience with that, because I'm not bad-mouthing Harbor Freight at all. It's just some of the items. Like, I bought some 3-foot pipe wrenches there for my steam radiators, and they're great.
Right. So, yeah. But there's a reason that they're such a low cost. And so you need to think about that when you, and particularly for a, it's hard to mess up a steam wrench or, that kind of thing. And I've got some long wrenches from the Harbor Freight that really I use them for getting tough nuts off and stuff. And they work like a charm. You know, it's nothing like having that extra leverage out there.
Well, let's pivot 180 and go with seed starting. First of all, thank you to Rick. Rick Postal mailed me. I got a letter from Rick, and it was kind of thick envelope, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I opened it up, and it was some of the tomato seeds from the University of Florida?
University of Florida, Klee Lab, K-L-E-E. Go ahead.
And there are the special... tomato seeds that are going to grow wonderfully in my humid, wet, blight-prone yard.
I hope that's true. We've talked about these seeds many times on the show, and I've written about them some on the Facebook page. If you're part of our Facebook Garden Fork Question and Answer group, and if you're not, sign up. It's we have to approve you, but that's just to keep the spammers out. Everybody gets in pretty much. And so, these seeds are, Mendelian crossed. They're using Mandel's, manual techniques for crossing these seeds. And they're trying to create the best tasting, tomato around. And then they're also, the secondary thing is they're using, they're looking at genetics and whatnot, and they're trying to grow really blight resistant. That's what gets me every year until I start growing these seeds, blight resistant seeds. And so there are three varieties they sent. There's the Garden Gem, which is about the size of a dollar, silver dollar. And it's a great tomato for salads. There is the Garden Treasure, which is a big slicer. And then there's a hybrid, which is one of their new ones. The variety right now is W that they're trying out. And I grew three of each. And we have more tomatoes this year than we could eat, than we could store, than we could boil, than we could freeze. I mean, it was just amazing. I had to resort to actually giving tomatoes away. And I hated that. But, we just couldn't eat them. We're eating so many tomatoes, we actually got sores on the inside of our mouth from all the acid. But they're great tomatoes. And if you would like to participate in the CLE study, they do ask that you send them a report about how the tomatoes did and where you live. Just look them up at the University of Florida, CLE Lab, K-L-E-E. And for a $10 donation to their tomato research fund or more, and I try to always send a little bit more, they will send you three packages of about 15 seeds each, and you too can be part of the scientific revolution. This is really citizen science in a way. We're all helping to develop a better tasting, more blight resistant tomato.
Cool. Also, we're going to grow flowers this year. I'm going to have I always have a sunflower bed for mm-hmm. my wife, and I thought this year I might do a cutting garden bed as well. And Erin from The Impatient Gardener, who is a frequent guest on the show here, she's also very active in our Facebook group. She has a blog post, 5 Flowers That Are Dead Simple to Grow from Seed. And it's lists. I mean, first of all, I just like how Erin writes. It's very kind mm-hmm. of first person. And I mean, I've met her many times in person. And so you can just, it's the same as listening to her talk in person. But I'll just list through them and we can talk about them. Nasturtiums. She's a big fan of nasturtiums. I've actually grown them and they are easy to grow. And then poppies.
They're also edible.
Yes, the flowers are edible and they look great in a salad. And mm-hmm. actually here in New York City, you can buy them in the store, nasturtium flowers. And poppies, which are actually will volunteer, but you can grow them from seed as well. And I think the seed heads look really cool.
Oh, yeah, in the fall.
Yeah. And then calendula, which is also known as a pot marigold. They look like a cross between a daisy and a marigold to me.
Right.
And then Nicotiana.
It's one of the tobacco plants.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And castor beans, which have kind of a interesting flower. Their leaves are, I think, more the foliage interest, but they're very cool.
Yeah, they're also highly poisonous. Castor bean, and Thomas Jefferson actually grew castor beans at Monticello, but castor is used the resin to create sarin gas. So it's an interesting plant all the way around. But they're great to have in the garden. They have these spiky flowers that are just interesting to look at. But be sure and wear gloves when you handle them. And probably not good if the kids or the dogs chew on your castor beans.
Yeah, Erin says, I love the spiky bright red flowers. I don't bring them inside because I don't trust the cat to leave them alone. But nasturtiums, what I've run into with nasturtiums is that the flowers kind of hide underneath the green foliage.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think if you over fertilize the soil, that the green of the plant will grow more than the flowers will. That might be actually true for a lot of flowers, but I think that's my experience with nasturtiums.
Yeah, but they're a really nice fill plant, and they particularly trail well from if you have a planter, winter garden planter or something. They trail down a little bit, I think, and I like that about them.
Nice. So she's got, it's theimpatientgardener.com, and we will link to this in the show notes. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, the new version of which I think is not great, our little Garden Fork Radio thumbnail is displayed. And if you swipe, I don't know if it's left or right on that image, the text describing the show notes will show up, and we will link to this in our show notes. We will also very slyly link to the Garden Fork Amazon shop, which is, we have a dedicated page on Amazon now. So all the other old links that I was asking you to use, please don't use those. If you just go to it's amazon.com/shop/Garden Fork. It is an affiliate link. We have suggested Garden Fork items, and you can shop anywhere in Amazon from there. So how's that for a sly little segue?
Nice way to just tack it in there. Yeah. Well done, sir.
But impatientgardener.com, she just rebuilt the site, and it looks really nice. So she's going to be on the show soon there. So,
okay.
Anything on your list, sir? I have a couple more things, but it's kind of been the show about all about Eric here.
Yeah, well, it's all about Eric. That's fine. I frankly, I just got out of bed a few minutes ago and rushed in here. And Eric and I said, what are we going to talk about? And said, I don't know. We'll think of something as we go. And that's what we're doing today.
Well, I have a couple of issues with some listeners. So,
oh, well, let's take them to the woodshed.
There's a guy named Jim, and he calls himself an occasional watcher of the videos. And I'm like, if you listen to the podcast, you have to watch the videos. So now really nice note. I'll read it here. It says, hi, Eric. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast, occasional watcher of the videos. I enjoy them both. Please keep up the great work when you feel inspired. I am trying my hand at sourdough starter and decided to watch some of your bread making videos. It was a great way to spend some time recovering from the flu. Thanks for the laughs and some new ideas. Have a great week. And that's from Jim B. And okay. That was cool. So, yeah, if you have the flu, there's 500 Garden Fork videos on YouTube. So if you go to the Garden Fork YouTube channel page, there's a link. There's a button at the top that says videos, and that'll list all 500 of them. So that's youtube.com/Garden Fork. But that was nice of Jim. So Sourdough Starter, the what's that podcast, the food podcast? It's the two women, one of them has a gastropod. They just did a whole episode on Sourdough Starter, and they went to a scientific meeting test thing where they got some bread bakers together and they tested their sourdoughs.
I remember that show, yes.
And they tested their skin, and they discovered that the sourdough starter basically reflected the bacteria of their skin. Is that right? The organisms on their hands were also present in the sourdough starter. I'm really kind of simplifying it, but it's a really good listen on the Gastropod podcast, all about sourdough.
Yeah, they got sourdough from all around the world. And they are starters, and they had chefs come in also from around the world. They have some money behind their project, and they tested everybody. And then it also turned out, if you're a regular sourdough chef, that the sourdough itself changes your own biome. Microbiome, and that so you know we're constantly interacting, giving them our viruses and bacterias and molds, and receiving that stuff from them. So it's actually very interesting, but it actually flavors based on some combination of what came with sourdough and what the baker had on his hands.
I thought that was pretty cool, and it's a very good show. They do a lot of deep research. I mean, Garden Fork is like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And the Gastropod, they like travel around and do a lot of background research before they decide to actually, record a show. And we just kind of pretend we know what we're talking about.
Well, enough of that, but I hope you get over the flu, Jim.
Yeah. Here's another one from Howard. Hi, Eric. Is there a Garden Fork video where you can the maple syrup? I tried searching, but I couldn't find one. You have a ton of videos, so maybe I missed it. Love what you do, especially Garden Fork Radio. Thanks, Howard.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
So here's the thing about canning maple syrup. If you use the plastic maple syrup jugs with the special foil cap that comes with when you buy the jugs, or if you use regular mason canning jars with a new lid on it, as soon as you pour the hot maple syrup into the jug or the canning jar, turn it upside down so that the lid is facing down, and the heat from the maple syrup will seal the lid, and you've got a canned product.
Ah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, I did, you and, was it Will last week? Who talked about maple syrup?
Will, who's going to the Super, he's at the Super Bowl right now, actually.
Oh yeah, he's doing the pyrotechnics from the for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you guys are talking about maple syrup, and you're going through the entire process. And I said, really, you have become human bees. I mean, you're doing everything the bees do in the hive, except you're doing it manually and taking days to do it.
Yeah.
And the bees are doing it for free, essentially. And then you go in and steal it from them. But it was just kind of interesting, that comparison, because you do really, right down to canning it, you're capping it in a way.
I never thought of it that way. That's very interesting, sir.
Well, that's my stock and trade, things that don't make any sense.
So the other thing I just wanted to touch on is there is a neat video and article about beekeeping where this woman scientist did a test with pairing southern bee packages with northern bee packages and nucs and different queens to find out survival rates. I basically ideal how to get bees to survive better. And they,
right.
The biggest problem with packages from southern states that are brought up north is that they die out in bigger numbers. And what she discovered was if you take a southern package and then pair it with a northern bred queen, you can't pair it until probably June when the northern queens are mated. The survival rate through the next winter is 80% with those new hives.
Wow. That is something. That's amazing compared to my experience.
So that's my new thing. And I actually just emailed Dave from the Clean Slate Farm podcast because He is a no treatment northern beekeeper, and I think he has three hives and they all made it through. I think I saw that on Instagram. I could be wrong. Dave is talking back to the radio right now, but Clean Slate Farm podcast. It's a garden forky kind of show, but I was very interested in that. So I will link to that video in the show notes here. Again, just swipe the Garden Fork logo across the screen of your phone and the show notes will show up there. So,
okay. You know, there actually, there was an article, I think I posted on the Garden Fork question and answer group, that they have made some big strides in getting rid of the mite load on bees. And so there are some new things coming up this next year or two that are going to help reduce the mite load and get the bees in a healthier state generally. And so we're all looking forward to that kind of thing.
I am. I'm looking forward to the future, Rick. Thanks to you.
We did talk last night, and things are not as glum as they seem, right?
Well, that's what I was reassured of, and that's what I love about talking to Rick. So I'm like, I got to let me just talk to the voice of reason, Rick.
What keeps me sane this time of year, we're almost to the point. We talked about seeding flowers, which is something I do not do very well. I don't think I've ever done it, come to think of it. But it's time to get out the seed catalogs and the calculators. And I have my little grow tent with the grow lights and a seed map for heat. And I'm thinking pretty hard about what I'm going to put down this year and how they're going to look and how I'm going to, which, you know, what's going to go in what garden. And it's always so much fun to anticipate the new year like that.
Yeah, I'm getting psyched. I am going to rebuild my hoop house that everyone, very nicely posted suggestions after I put up the video of the broken hoop house. So I was having a hard time finding 4-foot pieces of pressure treated plywood in my local supplier, so I have to go. Might have to go a little farther to find that.
Yeah, mine have begun to split and come apart. So this is probably their last season. I'll have to get some new.
Cool. Well, everyone, thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate that. And radio@gardenfork.tv is it. And don't say that you don't watch the videos. You all have to say that you watch all the videos.
Yeah, that's one reason Eric does what he does is so people will watch the videos and have some ideas and do things. And like I said, there are 500 of them up there. It's amazing how much work he's put into this over the years.
It is fun to hit the publish button because I posted one last night and I was running late. I was a couple days late, but I put it up on a Monday night and you just watch the numbers roll and the comments come in and it's kind of fun. So anyway, thanks for watching.
I didn't see it. What did you put in last night?
I checked out my hives on the Brooklyn rooftop. And so it was kind of, I show a little bit of Brooklyn on the sidewalk. I'm walking and go up on the roof and we look at the hives. So I won't tell you what happens at the end. So you can go watch.
Okay. You didn't fall off the building though.
No. All right, everyone. Make it a great day.
Okay. Talk to you later, my friend. Have a great day.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.